Hi everyone, and welcome back to The Imperfectionist. I am your host, Carla Pierre Fitzgerald. This week I have reached a completely new milestone as a content creator, somebody who puts their face on the internet. My image has been stolen and has been used and AI'd, and I've been given an American accent, and apparently I'm selling something to do with good, gut, glowing, healthy. One of the things was something to make your feces move better, which, you know, first of all, I would never, ever use the term feces, but thank you to the people who have sent this in to me. So turns out some company has grabbed one of my videos, AI'd me, put an American accent on me, and I'm now flogging this stuff on YouTube as an ad. So if anybody sees it, lads, would you do me a solid and would you report it, please? Because I can't find it. I can't get to it. They won't let me get near it. But I think I'm pretty sure, is this a new career milestone? Like, I think this is like, just, it's like when you found out that you had your own thread on Tattle, that was like one, like that was a career highlight. Like, you knew you made it. But now that I've been AI'd, does that mean, like, is that a new thing? Like, is this my new career milestone that I have reached? This is the pinnacle. You know, you get your 100K subscriber plaque on YouTube and then you get your image taken, which is, I'm not going to lie, it's a bit scary, you know, because I've had a lot of people steal my images for, you know, to sell some kind of keto program or something like that. I've had a couple that were really insidious, like the Turkish surgeon who stole my before and afters, claiming that I had weight loss surgery with him, which was swiftly taken down once I threatened legal action. But, you know, there'd be the odd companies that would try and sell literal snake oil or some kind of herbal remedy that would make you lose the entire thing that I lost, like half your body weight in 11 weeks was one of the claims. So I was like, yeah, good luck with that. Anybody who's got, you know, a bit of cop on would know that this was fake. But I don't like the, I really hate the idea of anybody, first of all, buying anything, using my image or like fake, like trying to scam people into giving up their money, giving up, you know, their details possibly. It's really, really scary. And so if anybody sees anything like this, please report it, or you can let me know, or take a screenshot or a screen recording and send it on to me, and hopefully we can stop these things together. We can be this community that puts an end to it. But, well, probably not, but most likely it'll be taken down and then back up again in 2 days. But alas. Anyway, guys, that's my little life update for this for this week. But now to my guest this episode, yoga teacher and entrepreneur Maura Rath. Maura left behind a high-pressure corporate career and turned to yoga, not just as a practice, but eventually as her purpose. Since then, she's built this thriving business, Yoga with Maura, and in 2024, she brought her passion and presence to an even bigger audience as a contestant on BBC's The Apprentice, and she spills some of the behind-the-scenes goss, lads, as well in this one. So it's quite, there was a few things I was like, Maura, thanks very much for sharing that. We talked about diet culture, body positivity, and the lessons Maura's learned in the boardroom, and why sometimes the hardest part is just showing up on the mat and also in life. So guys, let's get into it. Here is my chat with Maura.
Hey, Maura, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah,
like,
I think it was. Yeah.
At an event for Burst, and I just got sat beside you, and I was like,
you know, like, you just know in a moment. I was like, Carla, she's nice.
And yeah,
we just were chatting all sorts.
We were chewing the cud. Yeah, straight away. It was a really nice group of people
lovely.
That we were sitting
it was really
with.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm so glad that you came on. Thank you so much.
I'd like you.
I want you to chat with me. So,
well, thanks for having me, because I can talk a bit too much, so you'll have to stop me or
nonsense.
We
that's what we want. We have a long form conversation, so that's what we're here for. So
amazing.
The first question I always ask people is, what's something that you used to tell yourself that you now know to be untrue?
Oh gosh, there's a lot of things.
I was going to say, how many things?
How
are
many
there?
Things? But maybe this one is probably, maybe it's a cop out, but that old, I'll be happy when. And yes, it's something that's in work in progress, because I would definitely think my yoga has taught me to be more present and be happy with who I am and how I am, but it changes. It changes throughout the month with my cycle of how I'm feeling. And also, like, even now, I was just saying, I just got my first home And like for the last like 6-7 months, you moved back with my parents, very privileged. I could do that and save. And I was like, I'll be happy. I was like, stop saying that. We're living now.
When I get into the house.
I'll be happy when I get in the house. Yeah. So even though it's something that I used to really believe, now I know it's so untrue. True practice. Like the house isn't going to bring me happiness. I know it can help with happiness.
Yes.
But it's something that I think that we all need to be aware of. And I think you just get so caught up in what's next. And I myself, as a business owner, I'm constantly trying to, you know, get the next goal, get the next thing, go. But actually, when it comes down to it, if anything was to happen, any of us, God forbid, you know, your health or whatever, you're not going to be thinking about those things. You're just going to be thinking of being in the body you're in and happy.
With the people that you love.
Yeah, the ones you care about, your family, your friends, your nearest and dearest.
Because it's not about all those milestones that you think that you have to hit. Like, I think nearly every single guest that I've had on the podcast, they will always say that they were like striving for something and then it's like next. We're not even taking that opportunity to celebrate if we've achieved something.
That's it. And like it's almost like you kind of like, it's like that thing on, you know, social media, you're like, we're all scrolling and it's like your brain, I can't even think of the word, but your brain's going, and you're getting that like dopamine hit constantly.
Yeah.
And then when you get the hit of something happening and you're not stopping, pausing, sitting with it, and it could be like the smallest little win, you know, and you just go to the next, like you're not going to be happy, you know, or fulfilled. So it's something I'm working on. I have good months, I have good years, and then I get step back into my old ways. And yeah,
it's so easy to happen, though, isn't it, to like just slip back into like an old way of thinking or an old habit. Like I found that recently as well. Like my relationship with gratitude has been really, it's been both toxic and very positive, and it's been a long road in improving it and trying to make it, you know, a bit of a better relationship. But it was always that for me as well, was I'll be happy when.
Yeah.
Not, you know, here I have, like, this is what I have right now. Because like it'll change nothing about the things you have in your life, but it'll change everything about your perspective.
That's it. And it's the information that we're being given all the time, and that like we're probably providing as content creators as well. True. So you kind of find it hard to like not compete or want to have the next thing and just sitting with yourself. And like for me, my gratitude really came from my yoga. Like when I started to be able to connect with the body that I have, which I'm still working on with my body image, and be able to like be like, oh my God, today like I was able to move. Like some people can't stand up. Today I was able to breathe. Today I was able to get out of my mind for 5 minutes. Like I'm so grateful for that. You know, in those little moments for me, yoga was probably my best teacher, as cheesy and as how yoga it sounds, of teaching me gratitude, like for the body that I'm in.
And take me back then. So you used to be in a corporate job.
I did.
Many moons ago.
Probably like 20. I left the job in early 2017.
Okay.
And then I'll speed up the story. It's not that exciting, but I, you know, as we all do, get into a job. I ended up working with people that I loved. It was in insurance, not anything I did in college. I did art and design in college, but got into this 9-to-5 and worked quite well in the job. It was a good salary. Steady. It was in New Zealand. I was with the company nearly close to 6 years, and they really looked after me. And I was literally just in there 9-to-5, looking at the clock. I was actually the girl that was, there was a joke, like Maura's never at her desk, because I just constantly be moving and up and around. But I worked with people that I loved.
Yeah.
And I also learned a lot in that job. So
I also couldn't imagine you sitting at a desk like 9-to-5.
Definitely not. Yeah. And then I started doing yoga at that time, you know, just for like a de-stress. Well, actually, to be completely honest, I started to do it to lose weight.
Ooh,
so this is a real interesting topic, because I have always been in a smaller body, but I probably was punishing myself to get a smaller body.
Hmm.
So I was like, right, I was running at the time to lose weight, and then I was getting really tight. You know, I'm 5'10". And then people were like, oh, try yoga. And then I did like a hot yoga and it was so intense and I was sweating so much. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be so skinny after this. This is amazing. So that was kind of where it all began, to get skinny, which is like everything yoga
Isn't.
And even saying this now, I probably wouldn't have said this out loud a year ago, but now I'm like, feck it, this is just, you know, the truth, you know, that's why I started. And then I went through this whole journey of practicing and practicing. And then I found this teacher, gorgeous teacher, Lizzie, and she, just something happened in her class, it just shifted. And it was like that moment where I felt completely fulfilled in the body that I have. And it wasn't about how I looked, it was about how I felt. And in that little class, I was just like in Shavasana. And anyone that's ever done yoga, that moment at the end where you're still and you're just bliss. And I was like, woke up out of it. And I was like, what am I doing? Like, I imagine I could bring this back to Ireland. I was living in New Zealand. And I was like, oh, my God. So then
what happened in that moment? Like, what did you feel?
I just
in your
got
body?
This feeling of contentment.
Wow.
And like, I'm always on the go. And, you know, grew up in a big family. I'm an extrovert, completely. Probably love attention, love being loud, always the loudest girl in the class.
Show
always,
pony growing up kind
of
thing.
Yeah, messer.
Like, oh, messer.
Yeah,
okay.
And I'm five brothers, so I kind of had to have that masculine energy to have be heard. So all this, and then it was like I was completely silent for, you know, 90 minute class, and then you're just sitting and I was like, oh God, I'm just me and my body. And it's hard to...
It's like one of the times where you actually had to... be quiet. Do you feel like and sit with yourself.
And sometimes, you know, I have so many people that come to my classes and they skip out for the Shavasana and I'm like, bless you. Because I know it's hard to sit with yourself. It's so hard. But when you find that time, whatever you do, it doesn't have to be yoga. It could be like hoovering your house.
Yeah, for me, it's journaling. That's the thing where like
exactly
I connect with myself.
Thing. You know, meditation, just being still without your phone, without distraction, you know, going for a walk without the podcast, even though we want you to listen to this podcast.
Of course. But once you listen to that one, you can take the other days.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. So I just got that moment of just feeling, okay, this is it. And then it wasn't that like the next day I quit my job and I was like, right, let's go to India, like eat, pray, love, let's find yourself. Now, that was a dream, but it took me a couple of years to build the courage, work, you know, save money to be able to leave. And I was like, right, I'm leaving a country now, New Zealand, I'm moving back to Ireland in between jobs. I will go and go to India, literally go to, you know, out to a guru and learn from the best, learn where it came from, go for a month, and then I'll come back to Ireland and I'll teach it on the side. I'll go to my corporate proper job, they say is in inverted commas, you know, have the steady salary, get the mortgage. Thinking I'd have a mortgage like 7-8 years ago. I've only just got one. And, you know, do that and then teach one class a week and that'll fill my cup. Well, little did I know that wasn't really the plan. And I wanted to do it full time, but that was fear, you know?
Yeah.
And like what I think I should do. So
because we've been raised, like, I don't know about you, like, as like for me, it was you get a job that has a good pension, that has a good salary, that's stable, and that is, you know, and like ended up in the complete opposite, you know,
that's it.
But that's something that we're sold.
And that's what we're sold in school. Well, in my time in school, like you went to the career guidance and they're like, what do you want to be? And like, there was a list of courses and like
physiotherapist, nurse. Like it seemed to be.
Yeah,
for,
my mom was a nurse. She worked, you know, for the HSC for 40 plus years. She's like, oh, you know, good pension. My dad was self-employed, but it was always harder being self-employed. Yeah. So that was inside me that I need to do that. But then I went to India for a month, ended up staying 3 months, ended up traveling for like 9 months and then being like, I don't need that job. I don't need anything. All I need is my yoga mat, literally. Then I moved back to Ireland and was like, reality check. Okay.
You have to pay for things.
I've got to pay for things. Yeah. I had a little bundle of cash from saving for my job, but like money hadn't come in like nearly a year. Moved back with my mom and dad. You know, in my late 20s, I was like, don't want to be here. So then I just was like, you know what? I'm just going to give this a go. I'm going to give it a go for 6 months. I can always just get a job. And then I gave it a go and I'm still giving it a go, you know?
You're still giving it a go. How many years later now?
7+ years.
Seven plus years. You're definitely still giving it a pretty good go, I would say, at this point.
So that's a real sped up kind of thing. And I think I'd like to share that, like, I don't think anyone should just quit their job and become a yoga teacher or a content creator or whatever you're doing in this kind of artistic, you know, kind of more creative world, because the reality is it's so hard to get going and it's so hard to make money. It's so hard to get a mortgage. It's so hard to have a steady salary.
And to build something from scratch as well, because you literally have to build it from scratch. You can't just, you know, quit your job, have no money in the bank and say, like, I'm going to start YouTube and
then hope that YouTube will pay for everything. That's not how it works, unfortunately.
Yeah. And like, you know, I don't have like a sugar daddy or like, no, you know.
I'm sure there's been many in your DMs asking for it though.
No, sadly not actually. Oh, really? I think I've like 98% women connected with me online.
And you get the one random man who'd be like, I'll pay $6,000 a month for you. And you're like, that does sound really. Yeah. But then you see him asking it to everybody else as well.
Yeah, like, so it's not real.
Special.
Yeah.
But it's amazing, isn't it? Like how people will think that you can just quit something. It's lovely to hear that you were a little bit more, you had a bit more foresight and like thinking went into just then just going, no, I'm going to quit everything.
And you know, and the first like couple of years, like I started in 2017 kind of started the business in 2018. And then like for the first like 2 years, like I was hustling and I'm still hustling. You know, there was some weeks where I was lucky to make, you know, 100-150 euro, and the place I was renting for my classes was costing more, so I was like losing money. But I just always had a belief, and I don't know, like yoga has changed a lot from 2018 to 2020 or even 2021 in Ireland. Yeah. Like which this can be triggering for people, but COVID was a blessing for a lot of people, for me. Not for a lot of people. It was a curse. It was a curse and a blessing in one. For me, I didn't know I could ever have an online business, and I was forced to go online in COVID. So actually, I was able to also grow an Instagram in COVID and get online. So it was a weird blessing, even though like I wouldn't go through it again. Like I wasn't mentally maybe in a great place. But I was able to go online with my business, which was amazing.
Because you had to pivot. We all had to pivot onto online, because I was running a physical activity charity that worked with older people at the time. Yeah. And we had to pivot online as well. And it's just all of a sudden you're doing one thing, you're doing your business model, and then your business model is taken away and you're panicking
and you're like, what am I doing? I'll just give this online thing a go. You're thinking it was going to be just a couple of weeks.
So yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well. Oh yeah. Yeah. Just do it for 2 weeks. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. A year and a half later, you're like, okay, we're still here. Okay. Did not expect this.
Yeah. So it's been a real journey, but like, you know what? I absolutely love what I do, and like, I wouldn't change it for the world. And even though like I used to work 40 hours a week, I used to think it's a lot, I probably work like double that now, but I love what I do. And I love the people that like my community is so amazing. Like I just this weekend, my heart's still a bit full. I had I do these free community events. So I started these after COVID just to get people together in a field. And it was summer solstice. I'm not sure when this podcast is coming out. And in the morning, and like, you know, at 5 a.m., all these people are rocking up to do some yoga, which is amazing.
That's amazing.
And, you know, Ireland would have they did laugh at me, you know, if I would have said this 6 or 7 years ago, which is amazing.
And there does seem to be this real move towards community again, like getting people together as opposed to us all being so separated, because as we were for so long and so isolated.
Yeah.
And how have you felt that, like, the shift then back to both, you know, being in person and online?
Like, I love it. Like, online yoga is amazing. You know, anyone can roll out a mat at home and find space. I have, you know, women from, you know, with kids climbing over them, and it's amazing and it's good, but the in-person will always win. Like, that's the reality. The connection, me and you in a room together, it's always going to be better than a phone call or a text. You know,
so true.
You're in it. The online is great, but getting together. So like, I have my online studio every day with people, but then once a month we get together, people meet for a coffee, there's friendships we made, and like, I need that. I probably labeled myself as just an extrovert before COVID. Then COVID happened, I was like, oh, maybe this time inside is actually good for me, you know. Yeah. So I like definitely need people, but I do need some hours alone. So it's really good. It works
well.
A
nice balance.
Really good balance.
And then like, when you started off doing yoga, did you ever think that this was going to be like your full-time gig? Like, is this what you were going to, did you feel like, even though you kind of knew that you needed the corporate and still needed it, but was there something in you that was like, I need this. Need this to
like
be
my truth inside me. Like I wanted it. And I was hungry for it. So like, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to give this a go. And like, I was telling my, you know, my parents, I'll just give it a go for 6 months. And they were so supportive from the start. You know, my mom was definitely more like, you know, maybe getting a good job now be good for you. My dad is more of an entrepreneur mind. He's like, just go for it. And then like, I knew I wanted to do it. And I also knew that people in Ireland weren't like, can, connecting with their body. And I was like, if, and even though I wanted to make a business and be able to live and, you know, have a home and feed myself and go for nice dinners with a, with a, with money from yoga, I also just wanted people to connect with their body. And that's like the whole, like the dream, like, you know, whatever body you're in, whatever gender you are, like being actually able to have body awareness. Like so many people, you know, can't feel their toes. Like they can feel their toes, but they can't really feel their body. So it's just yoga.
What do you mean by feel your body? Like, for
like, it's so, it's really hard to explain, but like, you know, being on a yoga mat, my personal opinion, is just becoming so aware of how you're feeling in every part of you. So like being able to feel, like, this is going to sound dramatic, but like the blood moving through your body, the energy moving through your body. And like, I don't know if when you, if you do any breath work or anything like that, but like this all comes from yoga and just being able to connect with yourself and being physically in touch with yourself then leads to be able to be emotionally in touch with yourself, you know, and even sometimes spiritually in touch with yourself, and just having that feeling of, this is my body. You know, sometimes there's an analogy that I'm absolutely going to butcher. I'm so bad at analogies, but sometimes we're like passengers, right? Okay. So we're on the go all the time. And like, I don't know about you, but sometimes I will eat a whole meal and then forget I've eaten a meal because I'm looking at my phone, I'm looking at things. So you're on the go, or you're in your body and you're going all day and you haven't had a moment just to come listen to your heartbeat and like your organs, everything is working all the time. And I just think sometimes we forget that, you know?
Yeah, and how hard our body works for
so
us.
It works for us. And like, if you could have this little moment of, even every day or every week, you know, if you can find 5 minutes of just stillness. Your yoga doesn't have to always be a down dog. It can be sitting down, breathing, and like 5 minutes can help you find that inner peace, joy. And if you can't find 5 minutes a day or a week, you need to change something, because this is when people, you know, get sick, get burnout, all these things happen.
And it's really about prioritizing yourself as well, isn't it? Like finding that time, because a lot of people will automatically say, I don't have time for this.
That's it.
And I would have been the same years ago. I'd be like, oh, I don't, I'm too busy. You know, I don't have time for to do any of these things. But we do so much then for everybody else, or for our jobs, or for our kids and our family and our husbands, and especially women, I think. And not to take away from any of the gentlemen listening, but like for women, I really feel that we don't allow ourselves to spend time on ourselves, and we almost feel like it's something that we are guilty, like we feel guilty if we do.
100%. And it's, and you know what as well, I feel like it's an Irish thing as well, and maybe people from other cultures as well, like, you know, if you were like not that, like you were, you know, you're busy, but things are happening and something like, how's it going, you're like, oh, calm. You'd be like, she's got notions, she's doing nothing. Sorry. That one's lazy.
It's so true.
It's so funny. Like, I'm seeing people and I'm, you know, I'm catching up with a cousin saying, oh, how are you, more, are you crazy busy still? I'm like, actually mad. I'm like, yeah, it's mad. And I'm like, no, actually, it's, I'm enjoying it, it's good. But it's like an, it's like a thing where maybe it's like from our ancestors, you know, you have to seem like you're working hard, but you could be working hard, but you're not like busy, but like, you're, it's exactly what you said, prioritize. And like we have to like prioritize our downtime. Like, I might say I'm busy, but that might be walking my dog for an hour because I don't want to talk to anyone.
Yeah. And that's like, even for like, funny enough, yesterday I wasn't feeling great yesterday at home, and I was still in, both myself and my mom, we had a terrible night's sleep. I woke up, and once I'm up, I'm up.
Yeah.
And I took our son downstairs and we were watching TV. I was like, oh, here we are watching TV. Let Vincent have a couple of extra hours of sleep. And I realized it was 11:30 and I was still in my pajamas. And I felt really guilty for doing that. You know, like, so when you say like an hour of like going to walk my dog, I will tell people to do that. But there are times where I'm like, oh, I feel really guilty for taking this time for myself. Yeah. Like, I love dancing. That's like my yoga.
There's, you know, that's, it's your, like, yoga. That's my yoga. And a yoga can be in any form. That's amazing. Yeah.
And it's a moment where like I really have to connect with my body, because if I don't, because I dance in heels, you're going over like you're falling on your arse. Like, you know, you have to be really present.
Yeah.
And you don't think of anything else, and you're really connected with your body and with the music. And I feel, but I would never feel guilty about doing that. But it's funny how
there are little things that can kind of sneak in that we feel guilty about. I was like, I felt guilty because I was in my pajamas on a Sunday at 11:30.
And
I was
maybe the cereal spilt and the house is dirty or whatever. But actually, it's Sunday morning. What are Sundays supposed to be? They're supposed to be lazy.
It's literally a day of rest. Isn't that what it says? It's supposed to be a day. But it's so, unless we can say that we are, I think there's something, maybe it's ancestrally within us, but it's unless our worth is directly correlated to how busy we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our importance in the world and our value in the world is like how busy we are as people and how what we can contribute constantly to people, as opposed to so many other elements of ourselves.
It's so crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
And you were saying,
sometimes we can be busy fools though as well.
But that's the thing. Like, I think that's so true. And I think that's true for
many
of us.
Flustering around, being busy, busy, busy. And like, ask yourself, does that actually need to be done now? Does it?
Is this a priority?
Yeah.
This is something like I've had to learn, like to say, like, do I need to do this? Or is this something, a priority that I have created out of nowhere that I deem to be something that's really important?
Yeah. And then sometimes when you're in that fight or flight, which is like you're busy, go, go, go all the time, it's addictive.
It is.
So then have you ever found, like, I found myself, like, we're just moving into the house and there's loads of stuff to keep doing, and I'm like, in the evenings I'm like, keep going, and I'm like, find it hard to settle down. I'm like, it's because I haven't stopped. So you actually have to force yourself to stop, you know,
because it is fight or flight, isn't it? It's a way of escaping what you're feeling within yourself as well, and like not having to deal with it. Because I know there's a lot of people that I can think of in my family as well, who will be like, go, 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 will never sit down. And I know it's a form of escapism.
100%, they don't like sitting, or else, and then they stop when they get sick, you know?
Yeah, and that's the only time that they stop.
Yeah.
And I think there's many of us who are guilty of that.
100%, yeah.
And you were saying when you first started yoga, you were doing it to want to lose weight.
Yes.
I was nodding in my head thinking, you know, I think that every form of physical activity I ever did, yoga, Pilates, anything, was to lose weight, thinking this is going to be the thing to lose weight.
And like, yoga wouldn't be something now you'd think of to lose weight, you know?
But I think some people will still think
like
that.
I was going to a hot yoga, which was 40 degrees, so I was sweating buckets coming out, rinsing out my clothes, you know, from my own sweat. I was like, boom, you know, got rid of all that.
Water.
Yeah.
You got all that water weight. Yeah.
There's a prune. So like, you know, I'm kind of on this journey at the moment, this diet culture thing that I'm you know, and I'm very conscious that I know I'm in a smaller body. Mm-hmm. But I would say over my 20s, even my early 30s, now I'm 35, I have always battled with trying to be smaller. So I'm 5'10". I don't even know what weight I am, which is really nice.
That's
lovely. I
used to be
on the scales all the time. And I've always been like a comfortable, like this. Now I feel like I'm in a comfortable size, which is like about a 12.
Yeah.
Okay? And then I would always have been punishing myself to get down to the 10 or the 8 or to have this flat tummy. And I've always just had a soft belly, and that's just who I am. And I just remember being like, for a night out, for the week before the night out, I would literally be starving myself or going on this diet that would be so like ridiculous. I don't know, like I've done all sorts, like from juicing to soup diets.
I was going to say cabbage soup.
Cabbage soup diets to, I don't know, there was one that I think Gigi Hadid's mom had her on, like lemon and cayenne pepper.
Oh God, that one,
all this kind of stuff, like ridiculous stuff just to like fit in and get skinny, and then I just like binge then afterwards.
Yeah, so, of course, because you're starving.
Yeah, and I just think like this whole thing, like even like now after, you know, 12 plus years practicing yoga, learning about my body, there's days I wake up and I'm like, I feel fat, you know, or I feel this fat. And then I'm like asking myself, I'm like, why have I got a fear of being fat? Like, what is fat? Like, why is this fat phobia? Why am I, like, sometimes I think that people think that your health is determined by your size, which is not the case. And I probably created this story. I'm a yoga teacher, you know, and I'm leading people through practices. I need to look really skinny and slim to fit the model of a yoga teacher, which is complete bullcrap and absolute. So this is something that I'm kind of like working on. So I started, you know, oh, this will tone me up and get me skinny, like everything was. And then it's just like, for who? That's the big question. Or for what? For me, I want to have a body that I can always move.
Yeah.
And my like priority is to have longevity, right? I want to always be able to feel good, feel flexible. Like, I just love feeling good in my body. And whatever size that comes at, I mean, if I was maybe in a much larger body than I'm in now, maybe I wouldn't be able to have, you know, as much space on the yoga mat with my down dog or be as flexible in certain poses. Doesn't mean I'm not doing yoga. So I'm just kind of, I'm working on this at the moment. So
internally, like,
internally and externally. Yeah. Externally, I've just started to share about it. I don't know what I'm at.
Yeah, and no, I'm loving seeing what you are doing, like, and what you're sharing. Like, because yeah. I saw a reel that you did recently about, like, when you were wearing shorts, you know, and, like, not feeling yourself, like, feeling a bit funny in it, but making yourself wear the shorts.
Yes, like, I'd put on the shorts, and like, I would have never wore like bicycle shorts, and like, I love my Align shorts. They're so snug for yoga, for walking, whatever. And then like, I look in the mirror and I can see cellulite and I'm like, oh my god, like, do you know? And then I can see like a spare tire when I sit down, and it's like, I know my body's strong and healthy. And like, it's kind of this funny thing where I'm not promoting people to, like, you know, abuse your body by over, you know, indulging or eating or whatever. But also, I want to just promote that it's normal to have these little voices. And sometimes it's okay just to catch them and just ask yourself, are you treating your body well?
Yeah.
And like, that's what it's down to, you know, because, you know, when you're on social media, you're opening yourself up to. And I did have, like, you know, some people contact me and be like, oh, you know, this is like, you're saying this from a smaller body's perspective, like, you know, I'm from a bigger body and like, that's fat phobia or whatever. And it's like, but that's my real voice, you know, if I'm feeling like this. So I'm just kind of at this funny place where I'm like, I'm trying to promote health, wellness, well-being,
yeah,
and moving your body, but you don't need to have a certain body size to move it.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, because like, even back to what you were saying, like, I'll be happy when.
Yes.
I used to always think to myself, I will do exercise when, you know, I'll allow myself to go dancing when, you know, when I'm skinny. Because like, I wasn't, I came from the polar opposite. I was always in a bigger body. So for me, it's been a case of, I'll do this when, but it's when I've learned. I think every single attempt I ever had to lose weight before was as a form of punishment to my body, as opposed to celebrating what it can do and what it's able to do. And what it was able to do at 23 stone was actually amazing, because it wasn't 10 stone Carla who lost weight. It was 23 stone Carla who lost weight, you know, who put the effort in, who'd started the journey, and it became easier then.
And you probably, you know, if maybe at that time you see a girl like me complaining about her soft, you're like, what the fuck? You don't have an extra 13 stone on you. What are you talking about?
And I would have been.
So I understand that. So I'm trying to be sensitive to it. But I just think that, like, whatever, I think it's like asking yourself what your values are.
Yeah.
Like if you don't have to be a parent, but like, you know, I want to move well to be able to play with my nieces and nephews. I don't have kids. I want to be able to walk my dog every day and not feel wrecked or out of breath going up the stairs. Like, it can be just so simple. But then you could have a bigger body and be as fit as a fiddle.
Yes.
And that's just your body shape, your genetics. That's who you are. So it's just it's a whole big messy world.
It is. And I think the most important thing is that people, what you said there earlier, is that, like, why are you doing it and for who? Because if you're trying to change your body in any way, go up or down, or, you know, I've just been watching the Olivia Attwood series, the Price of Perfection, the one where she's doing all the different
I haven't seen that.
It's so good. She interviews loads of different people about cosmetic surgery and the different types of cosmetic surgery. And it's seeing the trends and how so many of us pick up trends and then change our whole bodies based on trends. And, you know, like, we grew up in the era of, like, you know, heroin chic.
Nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
Exactly.
It's toxicity.
Yeah, exactly. And that whole, like, you know, the circle of shame on magazines and weighing Victoria Beckham just after her giving birth to make sure she was back at her pre-baby weight live on TV. You know, that's, we grew up with that. That's really normal.
And it's our whole, like, and I think even now I have a niece who's 20, and like, even though there's all these people like you, myself, talking about body positivity and, like, you know, living better, there is a whole scary, I don't know if they, I think they banned it recently on TikTok, but skinny talk.
I've heard of
this.
This reminds me of old school, and trigger warning for anybody just about, like, eating disorders. But there used to be a thing, these forums years ago, because I'm a former bulimic.
Yeah.
So there would be these forums about Mia and Anna, and it was like all these, like, that's Anna would be anorexia and Mia would be bulimia. And it was all these forums that were discussing this and like celebrating it. And, you know, and that the skinny talk kind of reminded me of that. And I was like, oh my God, are we? And I didn't engage with it at all because I was either. Like, I didn't want to.
I just seen someone else share about it. I think it was that girl. I think she's, oh my God, something Clarkson. I don't want to say her dad's name, but you know.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I do know who you're speaking. Yeah.
She was like sharing about it or something. I think they've actually tried to bar it, but like I'm in the era where I'm trying to just body positivity, but which is scary that it's still out there.
It
you know?
Is. It is still out there, and it's in different forms now as well, because it's so, it's insidious in terms of like, in the documentary, Olivia Atwood was talking about how like she got a really large breast augmentation because that was what was in trend at the time. And then she reduced it because it was no longer in trend. It's like the extreme things that we do to our bodies based on trends and what's happening in the world around us.
Yeah.
Instead of it being about us and what we want and why we're doing something. And that's what's so important, is that we have to think about whatever we're doing for our bodies and for ourselves. Yeah. Why are we doing it?
This is a big question, isn't it? And like, and you can even bring it into like with your job and not telling you your job, but like what you're doing, like the people you're hanging out with, like if it's not fulfilling you or making you feel happy and you've been out with this girl group because you went to school with them and you're coming home feeling
crap.
Insecure and crap.
Yeah.
Ask yourself why.
And like, comparing yourself to other people and you're going, hold on a second.
You don't have to be friends with them forever. Even just because, I'm not trying to fall out with people.
No, but it's true. Like,
you know, it's who you surround yourself with, you know, and I'm so blessed that I, you know, my friends, I call my chosen sisters, so I don't have any, you know, blood sisters, that like we all like cheer each other on through the good days, the bad days, and are there. And I think that's the people you need to be around.
Yeah, not the people who tear you down. Like, I think when you leave somebody, if you feel uplifted and expanded and positive and light, that they're your people. 100%. Whereas when you're leaving people and you're feeling, oh my God, drained and lethargic,
anxious and did I say that right or this right? There's something not right there. Yeah,
they're, or if they call you and they're like, do you want to meet? And you're like, oh Jesus, I have to meet this person. You know, thinking they're not your people. No. They're not who
you're.
And they're
probably feeling the same.
Probably. Yeah, it's almost like,
you know?
Yeah, it's almost like a an obligation that we have to people to, I think we spoke about this with Niamh Cullen on like our second episode, and we were talking about like how sometimes you feel like you have to still be friends with people just because you've been friends with them for years.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't have to fall out with anyone. You just have to be around, just ghost them.
Just, no. You can slowly but surely like phase people
just
out. Yeah,
a lot.
You don't have to make any big dramatic like breakups or anything like that. Like, for you, like, has with like moving into like kind of more of like speaking about the body positivity and like speaking about like more openly, even just about your thought processes on like how you feel about your body, has that changed your self-belief at all? Like, and how you feel about yourself?
100%. Like, you know, even just like little messages, like I just went into my friend's wedding, and like a lady that was there, that was at the wedding, that followed me, she was like, oh, you know, I wasn't going to pack a bikini and what you're saying online, so I packed the bikini.
Oh, that's amazing.
Like, I have won. Like,
that's
if I'm making some lady wear a bikini in the body that she has, like, not making her wear a bikini, but to feel that she can, like, it's an absolute win. And for myself, I think it's actually making me more aware. So
it's of
my voice.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm sharing how I'm feeling in these videos, and sometimes I share them and I just want to delete it after I've shared it. I'm like, what have I just said? Oh my God. And because I'm feeling better. But like when I get it out there and I'm like, okay, it makes it sound even crazier than it is. So I'm becoming more aware that that is crazy, you know?
It's so true. When you actually voice some of the things that you're thinking about yourself, you're like, hold on a second. Like, what, where? That was journaling for me, was the thing where I started to like write and actually connect with my body first and be like, hold on a second, where are these things coming from? Like, what am I saying to myself?
And also it's like different, like, you know, as women, like we all have like whatever, even if you're past your period or, you know, you're not having your period, we're all powered by like the moon. We're all on this 28 day cycle. So like there is a week before you bleed, where like, you know, you don't like your body as much. There's like science to back it up, where you feel more anxious and like the voices can be stronger that week. And then there's another week when you're, you know, potentially ovulating, or in that week where you're like, oh, I feel great.
You feel phenomenal because you're like, your body's getting getting ready to procreate. So it's giving you the hormones to make you feel really good in yourself.
It. So it's so fascinating. I find it all fascinating with the woman's body. And I just think like, if like you're having the, it's normal. So don't beat yourself up and maybe don't hold it in. Just like talk to your friend about it. You know, you can be like, oh, you feel like this. And then you just kind of like laugh out how ridiculous. Or something I always say is like, talk to yourself like you talk to your friend. Like I'd never be like to my friend if she had like be like, oh, you're, you know, you're fat cow. Like I'd be like, no, you look beautiful.
You wouldn't be like pointing at her cellulite in her line, like biking by his shorts. Like you wouldn't think about it.
All I'd be thinking about like how good of a friend she is or what we talked about, or that it would never
be actual value.
Yeah.
Or her value in the world. Yeah.
That's it. It's so ridiculous.
That it's not your body. You're so much more than your body.
Yeah.
I read recently there was somebody was talking about wanting to lose weight who was part of the body positivity movement, and she realized that she wasn't happy in her body at a bigger size, and she wanted to do something about it, and she was getting a lot of hate about it, and she was saying that like people were saying, but you're beautiful, you know, and like you're gorgeous, and you know, this is what's important is you have the lovely face. But she made a really valid point that like
lovely face, like
that's something I've heard my whole life is. Oh, but you've such a lovely face. But what's the but about? Like, where did that come from? She did say though that beauty is not an indicator of health and happiness and wellness.
Yeah,
and I thought that was so true. It's been ringing in my head for the last like week since I read it. I was like, it's so true, because we put so much emphasis on the way we look that we think once we are, you know, no matter what size we are, once we are beautiful, turned out, therefore we must be physically healthy, we must be happy, and we must be, you know, have a life full of wellness. It's not the case.
No, 100%. I think it comes down to like even like, you know, from being beauty, from your size, like from what you're wearing, like it's all like it's all just comes back to like how the person's feeling. And like I think that's one thing, you don't know what people are going through, so just meet everyone with kindness and yourself.
I think that's so important, is to meet people with kindness. When you, like, obviously you had quite a public showing at some point when you were on The Apprentice with how did you feel in yourself when you were going through that whole program and the system of it? Like, I'd say it was really overwhelming.
So to be completely honest, before I went into The Apprentice, I was very confident in who I was. And not to spoil reality TV on anyone, but everyone probably knows this, like it's not what it seems. I was very ignorant to going in. Like I never watched a show. My business had been through a loss. I was like, okay, I'll get 250K investment. Let's give it a go. And I'm a bit competitive. I also did know that it was going to be exposure that could help my business.
Yeah.
So I just went for it, but didn't really watch it before. But even watching it, you still wouldn't know, to be honest. I don't know if that was a curse or a gift that I didn't watch it. But the one thing I asked when I went in, they were like, oh, you know, you meet with a wellness, you go to a psychologist, they go all to just test, make sure you're mentally, you know, strong and stuff before you go in. And then they were like, what do you need? And I was like, all I need is my yoga mat every day, 5 minutes, and I'll be good. And then like the first week went on, like you don't have any clocks, you don't know what time it is. You don't have any choice on the food that you eat.
Do you have your phone?
No phone, no internet, no laptop. You get one 10-minute call to one person you love each week.
Oh, so you're in jail.
You're in jail. Yeah.
Wow.
A glamorous jail, you know.
Very glamorous. Yeah, but like that's...
Yeah, and you don't know these people. Like you met a couple of days before, you know. So that straight away. And then after a couple of days, they were like, oh no, it's an advantage. You're yoga mat. So they wouldn't let me do yoga.
How is that an advantage?
So because we were woken up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then you'd have to stand around for like 5 hours, be mic'd and waiting. And it was all just a mind game to make you really tired and reactive. So I was just waking up at like 5 to 2, and you'd have to get in corporate clothes, and you had to be like in a car or to the venue. And I don't know, like things on TV just take way longer than what they look. There's a lot of setting up and everything, and you have to get up. So I'd be like, can you just wake me up at like 10 to 4? So because we had no clocks or alarms, and like, who's going to wake up naturally at 4 o'clock? And like, I kept asking, and after like a week, they're like, no, it's an advantage if you get up before everyone. And I was like, but I need this for my mental health. And they're like, oh, you can do yoga on your down day. One day a week, you get a down day. So like,
so were you there the whole time?
Oh yeah, you couldn't leave. So I was there for like 7 weeks, and like, you asked me about my, so I started so confident in there, and I left a shell of a person, just from the lack of movement. I think we got like 3 walks to a park on down days. Like they had
over 7 weeks.
Yeah, they had a treadmill in the house, and they had a gym, and they had a pool, but we weren't allowed in the pool.
Oh,
Or the sauna or anything like that. And then the treadmill, like, so you'd be up at 4 and then not home till 10 o'clock at night. And then they'd be buying you like, you know, Subways, McDonald's. Like, I love like my vegetables. I love food. I love my treats as well.
Yeah, but you can't sustain that for seven weeks. You
like
need
even
it.
Like the first week, like every morning we were just getting like, sorry, but I don't like English sausages.
Okay.
No, they're not good.
Yeah.
They're not good. They're not like Irish ones. So you're getting like a sausage sandwich every morning at 4 a.m. I was like, I can't eat this. Like, I need porridge. I need a bit of fruit. Like, for a week, I had to fight for a fruit bowl. Like, this kind of thing. So it was just like a whole journey.
That's insane.
Wouldn't recommend it to a friend, even though like, at the end of the day, they were actually pretty, it was grand. It sounds so negative. So,
no, but it's the real, like, it's the reality behind the reality TV.
Yeah, and it made me like so grateful for the life that I have, for the family that I have, for the friends that I have. I made some friends on the show, but like, to be completely honest, there's no one that I'm like super close to. Like, we all got on. But I just felt like there's something about, you know, there was like an Irish guy that was on the camera, and there was like another Irish girl that was like a producer. And you know, they just give you that look and that little nod, and they're like, how are you getting on?
Yeah.
And that little bit of comfort of home got me
imagine
through it.
When you don't have any super quinn sausages. Yeah. Or, yeah,
that's it. Yeah. You know, your Denny sausages.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just the little home comforts, and like even just simple things like all they would in the house would have is white bread, do you know, and like fake butter. Come on, give us our Kerrygold.
Yeah, like it's the BBC, you can afford it. You know, that's mad.
So it was just like a whole journey that like, you know, I didn't feel confident in my body. I actually left feeling so self-conscious, and like, you know, I was just, oh, it just felt icky. And then I came back and I was like, oh my God, it was. But then also you're being like gaslit to make think you're saying something that you're not for like so long. So that's probably the whole
in suit. Like on. Like from
within
other,
the show.
Okay, from other contestants or like
No, probably from the producers.
Oh, okay.
Not all producers are like that, though.
Yeah.
Most producers are lovely.
We're just looking
at
Claire here, our producer.
Not like, you know, not like that. Yeah. That's probably very extreme, but like, I'm so, like, you know what? No regrets, right?
Yeah.
You know? But it was.
And did you learn a lot from doing the experience too?
I learned so much about myself. It was like such a journey. I learned so much. I even learned lots about business, you know, of how I want to run things. And like, the whole show is about wanting you to, like, you know, obviously win an investment, but really it's TV. So they want you to shaft someone. So they're constantly trying to, like, say me and you are having this conversation. They'll like stop the conversation and they'll pull you out of the room. They'll be like, do you think Carla's kind of been a bit condescending?
Oh, wow.
So then they'll remove you and no one will see each other. They'll separate 15 or 12, whatever amount are left at a time for like 2 hours. And you're sitting there with your thoughts with a minder.
Oh,
and then you
my
go,
gosh.
Okay, back to where you start. And then, so it's like, everyone is exhausted, everyone's tired and people are getting, but like, I know my body, I know myself, I know who I am. I also know that I have a business at home.
Mm-hmm.
And in the real world, if Carla wasn't nice to me, I would just remove myself.
Yeah, that's okay. You
know, that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to be friends. That's okay. So it's just, it's a real journey.
And that obviously it doesn't air live. So
no, it aired a year later.
So how was it then?
So you had to sit with it for a year and like, you're like, oh my God, what happened?
A year is a long time to have to wait for it.
We finished filming in June and then it aired the following February.
That's a long time.
Yeah. So also then over that time, like, one episode is filmed over a week, which they do like, I don't know, 70 hours of filming or something ridiculous for 1 hour episode. So like, there's loads of things happen good that I did. And even things I said, I was like, oh my God. So like, worried about it for a year.
Yeah.
But luckily, maybe there was a lovely Irish producer in there editing and gave me a lovely edit.
You got anything?
Show some good parts, you know, but also some really embarrassing parts. But like, I was so grateful, but like, so many people on the show had a horrific time online after and got a really bad edit, and like, it was just really hard, you know?
Because I've heard that, I've heard like on different shows, you know, like I'm a big fan of MAFS, like Married at First Sight, as like a switch my brain off TV. And I know one of them was saying like, are you trying to like give me the bad person edit? you know, she said that, and it's like, it's so true. She was like, hold on, I'm not going to play into like,
I'm watching MAFS. So I watch MAFS as well.
Amazing.
So I'm watching my husband. I'm like, okay, so what happened now? They stopped them. They pulled him out. They separated them for 2 days, and they got in each other's ears about this. They're exhausted.
So you know all the insights.
We had the same producers that looked after Love Island.
Oh, wow.
And they all do the same shows. Like, one of the head producers was over Geordie Shore.
Okay. So they're like,
but some of the producers were amazing. And then there was like some that were like well known as the really good ones that would get the best drama.
Yeah. Because that's what people want to see. That's what's entertaining to people. It's like old school, like floggings in the town square. Like, this is what we want to see. Yeah. You know, like, it's this weird.
Some amazing ones that'll be like, you know, if you don't want to do that, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
But like, I know who I am. And like, you know, I'm in my 30s. So like, if someone asks me to say something, I'm like, I'm not saying that.
And did you ever feel pressured to
go against yourself? Oh, I felt pressure
every day of it. Yeah, okay. But were you able to, like...
I was well able for it, you know, and I took it with a pinch of salt. And, like, there was a lovely... there's so many lovely girls in it. And, like, you know, I'd always be like, you know, with the girls, I was like, you know, you don't have to do that. You don't have to say that. And we'd always have each other's back. And, you know, and it was grand. But it was just a journey.
Because you were in it for so long as well. Like, that was a really long time. And how... I've always wondered how intense, first of all, the coffee shop scenes at the end, you know, where they're like...
They're actually the worst. They are the worst.
Has anyone ever seen...
Like, makes the coffee look so scary. Like, she's like from something from Matilda. And like, everyone's like, oh my God. And they we're all shitting it. You're made think this is like, you have no other life. You haven't spoke to your family or your friends. You're like, if I get fired, it's the end of the world.
You're sitting there with your styrofoam cup.
You're
like,
exhausted, and you'd be living on white bread, and you're just delirious thinking this is everything.
Life is actually going to be okay. Yeah, you're going to survive it. You're going to survive it.
But you know what? Like, that being said, Alan Sugar is lovely.
Is he?
He's so nice.
What's Karen
people
like?
People are always like, Karen is a Karen.
Is Karen. Okay. Yeah. I love
God,
it.
I'm giving all the dish.
You're giving us all the dish.
Is fully over. So I'm
fantastic. Like, spill it. All the details. Like, yeah, because like, I, like, she scares me.
And you know what? I really admired her, like, before I went in there.
Okay.
I don't admire her now. You know, no, actually I don't. But, you know.
Oh, really?
I just think that, like, you know, there's a woman in a football industry, and like, being a woman in business.
Yeah.
It just, you know, but I have to say that Alan Sugar was lovely.
Okay, well, that's really good to know.
Fair and honest. And that's
what
you want.
He was fair, okay.
Yeah.
And then did you have Tim?
Tim was great. Yeah. So sound.
Because he's been through it, so he knew what it was like.
Great crack with him, yeah. So
that's
nice.
Cool. Oh, that's cool. I'm glad to hear that there was some positives out of it then.
That's it. And who knows what Cara maybe was going through at the time of my filming, but I definitely wasn't one of her people.
Oh, God. Did you do the interviews?
No, I didn't get them. I got fired the week before.
Oh, yeah. Is that lucky that you didn't have to do the interviews?
I wanted to get to the interviews.
Yeah, of course. You want to get to the... Yeah, but the...
Yeah, I think it's probably the best exposure for your business.
Yeah.
But then it's also a blessing as well. Do you know?
Because they are... Yeah. I don't feel like that would be a fun time, so at all, but
yeah.
Where we always do a little quick fire question round at the end for our lovely guests. So I have the Rolodex, the reel of, I don't know what we still haven't, we're like 7 months into this and I don't know what we're calling it.
The magic roll.
So I'm going to spin it and you tell me when to stop, and I'm going to ask you a question if that's okay.
Okay. Stop.
Are you more of a big night out or a cozy night in girl? I suppose now that you got your new house.
Oh, I'm a cozy night in girl.
Yeah. I'm a cozy night. Do you just hit an age where you become a cozy night in girl?
If I can be home by like 10, is that okay?
10 is late. Like, there was one day Claire
saw... That's a Saturday night.
Yeah. Like, Claire saw me, our producer, Claire saw me out like on Instagram at like 7:15. She was like, oh my God, look at you out. It's true. Big night out. All right. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
What is one song that always gets you dancing in the kitchen?
Oh gosh, let me think. Definitely a bit of Adele.
Really?
Sad, but like, I'll sing my heart out. I haven't got a note in my head, but I love a bit of Adele.
But that's the best part.
Maybe
sometimes.
Not dancing, maybe just singing.
Just singing. Yeah, with the wooden spoon.
Yeah.
Wooden spoon microphone. I would do one more.
Stop.
If you had to give a TED talk on something unrelated to your job, what would it be?
How to be a dog mom.
Oh, amazing. Oh, that's such a good one.
I'm meant to be a good dog mom.
A good dog mom.
No dog mom, yeah. Shame here, but a good dog mom.
That's such that's a good random. One. Oh, that's random, but that's brilliant. Maura, thank you so much. You were absolute delight to chat to you. I can't believe how fast that hour went. Yeah, like, God, yeah.
I love that.
If people want to find out more about you, where do they go? How do they find out? What do they do?
Yoga with Maura. It's a very original name. Very simple.
It's straight up though. Yeah, you know, that's and that's .com as well, and on Instagram.
Well, it's .com now, so I managed to get .com too. But yeah, Yoga More on Instagram. You can find all my community events and things that I do.
Fantastic, brilliant. Thank you so much again, Maura.
You
were brilliant. Thank you.
Namaste.
Oh, I love it. Thanks so much to Maura for joining me. That was such an amazing conversation. I loved how she was speaking about body image as somebody who has been in a smaller body for the majority of her life, yet spent a large part of her life trying to be even smaller and going on all sorts of diets. Like, it's something that I didn't think that, you know, people who were kind of naturally slim, that's something that they would deal with. But it was really interesting to hear her perspective and how diet culture has kind of shaped her thinking throughout her life. And now her journey, as she calls it, is trying to appreciate her body and embrace where she is now instead of focusing on her imperfections. You know, as she might perceive it, she's asking herself, like, am I treating my body well? And I think that this is something that I'm really trying to hone in, is that it's not just about, you know, trying to be a certain size. It's about supporting your body with what it needs and the nutrients that it needs, and making sure that you feel really good in yourself and doing the best that you can to make yourself feel good in it. But and of course, guys, she also opened up the couple of cans there on the apprentice goss. How tough and grueling does that schedule sound? Like, it does not sound like the greatest fun on earth, but I'd say she has many a story that she can regale over a glass of wine in a bar some night. So thank you to Maura for sharing some of that with us. But a huge thank you, Maura, for coming on the Imperfectionist. If you love this conversation, please, guys, make sure you hit the follow button, leave a review, share it with somebody. Follow us on Instagram at the Imperfectionist Pod. You can message us there, or you can email me at carla@golau.com if you have any suggestions for future guests, or there's any mailbag questions that you, or conundrums that you'd like me to answer in a future episode. Until next time, guys, make sure you keep showing up for yourself.